traffic offense related to a traffic accident at the outset. That's what the record is created for. The underlying events that occurred here wouldn't alter that in this circumstance. I would agree that that may create a problem under the statute.
All right. So in this case, what makes the later charge under the criminal code something that is pertaining to the traffic offense?
Well, I think it. Okay. Well, I'm thinking about too many things. Sorry. I think the reason that this record remains a traffic offense record is that the way the case developed, which is it was, I think, properly charged as a traffic offense. As part of a plea agreement, the petitioner was allowed to plead to a non-traffic offense, but ultimately gets that guilty plea vacated and dismissed. And I don't think that alters the nature of this record as being a traffic offense record. And I think the policy reason that supports that, which is again the one about courts not being inundated, is with having to parse through traffic records, is this case was labeled a traffic offense case, and the idea that we're going to look beyond that to determine whether something that was done later involved something that was a non-traffic offense undermines that policy and the language of the statute.
Mr. Ullman, what would happen if the prosecution in a single information joined two unrelated cases, a Class A misdemeanor traffic offense and, say, sexual assault on a child, a completely unfounded charge that was later dismissed? What would happen as a practical matter when the defendant then came and asked for sealing of the sex assault on a child charge?
Your Honor, I have to preface my answer with the statute accepts sexual assault cases.
I
refuse any other hypothetical.
Okay,
at this
first
point.
Degree.
But I understand your point. I think again, if the case takes that fundamental turn where we're pursuing both of those charges to a trial, that there may be some argument that at least again part of the record may relate to a non-traffic offense. And again, I know it's a circular answer, but the one is I come back to the facts of this case, which is this a traffic record in this case? And
well,
I think the way it developed, it remains so.
So assuming that the court saw the defendant's way and agreed to seal at least, say, the felony record, how would that be done? What happens when you seal? What does the custodian do then?
You know, I obviously was listening to that question, and I don't know the answer to that, although what I presume happens is something like the records that we see on appeal that are sealed, which is some of it is placed in an envelope, it's marked sealed, not for release, I assume, because we're in the modern era of computers, the computer database is somehow labeled with that so that information can't be released. I know when I was a trial court law clerk that cases that were just confidentially sealed, not sealed under the statute, were set up that no one could see them without a password to get into them. So I assume there are efforts like that. What we would do in a case like this, it creates a dilemma, right? Because how do you block out parts of the record and keep the traffic offense? And again, I of course think that supports my position that in a case like this, it's encompassed by that.
Well, to the extent it creates a problem, it's just a practical problem that some clerk or records custodian has to solve, right? Is there any practical reason why you couldn't exclude, where you couldn't shield from discovery any reference to the felony conviction, or in this case, the misdemeanor false reporting conviction, and otherwise disclose the misdemeanor traffic offense?
The answer is, I don't know, but I assume there is not a practical problem, but the larger problem is the one, again, that undermines the policy of the statute, which is, are we going to look into all, and again, I'm coming back to our case, all charged traffic offense cases in which we have this unusual scenario where something happens related to a non-traffic offense, and we parse through them when the legislature's intent was to avoid this circumstance. So I would say physically it's practical, but the idea that we're going to open the door to this. So for example, in my imagination of hypotheticals, suppose that there's just a reference to another case in this, are we going to parse through the record and block out any reference that the that there was a prior charge of a sex assault or another felony. Essentially, we are opening the door to requiring courts to go through these things, and all many traffic petitions to seal traffic records and parse through them. And I think, again, while that may be practical on some level, that it can be done, the legislature has expressed an intent not to be doing that in these cases. And I think, again, looking at the policy position here, the fact that this is a case where there's not a claim that the charge to which the petitioner ultimately pled was wrong, or that he was innocent of that, that in fact it was just done to cover this up, shouldn't shift the policy, overriding policy here, that these records should not be subject to unsealing. I guess I've already said it, assuming that this court found that somehow this was subject to a petition, I would argue that you can't possibly seal the traffic offense part of this because the statute says that can't be done. But again, I would agree, I would argue that that seems to undermine the intent of the legislature.
Counsel, what would be your view of, assuming we agree with the defendant on this point, sorry, the petitioner on this point, about whether a hearing would be necessary or some further proceedings on, in your view, do you agree that a finding has been made that the balancing has already taken place?
No, I disagree, Your Honor, and I also have not looked at the record recently, but my recollection when I was writing the brief is that there had been no finding. I remember at the point where both the prosecution and the petitioner's counsel, or I guess the people on the petitioner's counsel, were trying to figure out a way this could be done, the court seemed to be sympathetic to seeing if they came up with a solution. But I don't think the court ever said, this is clearly a case that if I could, I would seal the record, but for the traffic offense. So I think, yes, if it would need to be remanded for the court to engage that. And the fact that the parties might stipulate to it one way or the other makes no difference. I mean, that's the court's job, is then to apply the law and make the balancing thing. And obviously we have some obvious public interests which are cited in the petitioner's claims, which is the Federal Trade Commission considers this with great scrutiny, gives scrutiny to this kind of a charge. So that there are public interests at play here, and I understand the position of the petitioner, but I think it ultimately is for the court below to do that if it needs to be done.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I would thank the court for its time.
Mr. Muggy.
Thank you. And I want to briefly respond to this dichotomy of whether this was a mistaken charge and the reasons for the dismissal of both charges, because quite frankly, they're irrelevant to the ultimate issue before this court. The facts before this court are that both charges were dismissed, period. The reasons for it do not matter as long as they're not within some statutory exception. So all this talk is really meant to detract from the ultimate issue, and that is, what do the courts do when faced with criminal charges that are within the exception and with charges that are outside the exception and otherwise could clearly have been sealed? The courts need guidance on this. The issue is ripe. We are faced with competing statutory interpretations. The first, adopted by the trial court, is akin to throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Anytime a mistaken charge or any sort of charge is dismissed, that's a traffic misdemeanor, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater by preventing someone from sealing any records. That's not within the intent meant by the legislature. That's not within our statutory rules. The two alternatives advanced by us are. I see my time's up. If there are any further questions, I'd be happy to answer them. If not, I thank the court for its time.
Thank you. The court again thanks both counsel for their arguments. This case will be deemed submitted and a written opinion will issue in due course. That concludes our afternoon docket. The court will